Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takehiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, May 17th, 2021. Welcome back, Sakito-san.
Good to be back.
Good to have you. The Japanese Ministry of Finance recently released the March balance of payment, April international transaction in securities, and the weekly securities investing flow data for the first week of May. There's a ton of good stuff in all that data. But why don't we start the podcast with you taking our listeners through the weekly data, which I'd argue is a little hard to read given it covers Golden Week.
Ministry of Finance, Japanese MOF's weekly securities data shows that over the Golden Week on 25th April to May 8th, Japanese were net sellers of medium to long-term bonds by 1.5 trillion yen. Japanese selling of falling bonds contributed to dollar yen basis swap tightening. Meanwhile, overseas investors turned net buyers of Japanese securities by 4 trillion yen on May 2nd to 8th. Overseas investors have been driving dollar yen basis tightening in that week. Since last April, U.S. short-term rates have declined and turned negative, and JGBs have grown attractive in relative terms. Looking forward, the main battlefield for overseas investors' TDB arbitrages will likely shift to 6 to 12 months from 3 months in tenor. We will be monitoring closely JGB relative values versus U.S. short-term treasuries, as well as overseas investors' JGB preferences.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, three-month TDBs are just so tight. They're trading around LIBOR flat. It makes sense that investors might be willing to move out the curve to pick up a little bit of yields. So thanks for taking us through that. I'd be curious for you to take us through that next data release, the April international transaction in securities data.
In April, at the start of the fiscal year 21, Japanese unloaded a net 1.2 trillion yen of foreign securities, but bought a net 1.4 trillion yen of medium to long-term falling bonds. By investor type, pension funds contributed to shift from falling stocks and investment fund holdings by 2.5 trillion yen in April to falling bonds by 959 billion yen. They also appear to have slowed down their falling bond buying. On the other hand, Japanese banks unloaded 221 billion yen of falling securities, while Japanese lifers 256 billion yen and Toshin Investment Trust 38 billion yen net bought foreign securities. Japanese pension funds and banks unloaded overseas assets in April. Then lifers and retailers bought overseas assets. In April, overseas investors sold a net 1.5 trillion yen of Japanese securities. This included unloaded a net 4.8 trillion yen of short-term bonds, against net buying of medium to long-term bonds by 1.2 trillion yen and 1.9 trillion yen of stocks and investment fund holdings. Overseas investors began to build up their yen bond and Japan stock positions after uncertainty was dispelled by the Bank of Japan's assessment of monetary easing in March. In addition, they face the TDB redemptions in April.
You know, it's interesting. I found in the data, I found it interesting, as you mentioned, Japanese pensions continue to sell foreign stocks to buy foreign bonds, but the amount that they bought of foreign bonds is about half of what they sold. So it'll be interesting to see if that's just a monthly aberration, or if that's the start of a different riff on a long-running trend. And the other thing I found interesting was that, you know, Japanese lifers have been selling foreign bonds for about as long as I can remember, and they actually bought a small amount, you know, a foreign bonds in the month of April. You know, and obviously, as you point out, bought foreign securities across stocks and bonds in aggregate. But you know, moving on, we mentioned the March balance of payment data earlier. You wrote a very interesting report entitled JPY Cross Asset: Foreigners Buy JPY Credit Products, Japanese Look Towards North American Bonds in the Tokyo Market. Could you summarize the main points of that report for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Japan's balance of payment for March showed that the Japanese net sold 258 billion yen of external securities, while the foreigners net sold 6.8 trillion yen of Japanese securities. Japanese investors unloaded a net 238 billion yen of foreign stocks and investment fund holdings and 303 billion yen of short-term bonds. Even as they net bought 282 billion yen of medium to long-term bonds. In March, foreign investors sold a net 604 billion yen of Japanese stocks and investment fund holdings, 439 billion yen of medium to long-term bonds, and 6.8 trillion yen of TDBs. In March, Japanese net acquired U.S. dollar bonds by 1 trillion yen. The U.S. Treasury's U.S. TIC data also came out about 1 hour ago. Japanese net bought 3,649 million U.S. dollars of U.S. Treasuries and 9,980 million U.S. dollars of U.S. corporate stocks. Unexpectedly, they net purchased 54 million U.S. dollars of U.S. agency bonds, slightly. Also, they net unloaded 60 million U.S. dollars of U.S. corporate bonds. Their U.S. dollar asset preference is polarized for either U.S. treasuries or U.S. equities. We have to closely assess their risk preference in their fiscal year 20 financial results this month.
You know, that's interesting. The TIC data, you know, we're recording this Monday evening, and you're probably, listeners are probably listening to this Tuesday morning, but you know, so I haven't had a chance to go through the data myself. But as I recall, Japan has been a pretty consistent seller of treasuries to buy agency MBS. So it looks like there's a little bit of a reversal of that trend in the month of March. So I suspect you'll be releasing a detailed report on the TIC data on Tuesday morning. So I would encourage our listeners to take a look at that. But I think we're probably about out of time here. So why don't we wrap things up with the outlook for spot dollar yen, yen rate, and yen basis?
Upward pressure on U.S. rates could build on inflation pressure, as shown in the U.S. CPI data last week. Higher yields and a stronger U.S. dollar could support dollar yen recovering to the 110 level. We revised the upper bound for our dollar yen forecast to 110.75. The lower bound for dollar yen was only the lower 108 bubble when the U.S. high-tech stock plunged earlier last week. Aside from U.S. dollar, yen weakness stands out, and we have once again seen steady yen selling flows. We raise the lower bound for dollar yen to 108.75. Once U.S. jobs and CPI data are digested, we expect dollar yen to stay within a narrow range of 2 yen between 108.75 to 110.75 with a neutral bias. Yen swap rates and yen basis have been flat since then. On May 17th, the MOF held a JGBI auction and 763 billion yen was bid against 200 billion yen offered. This was probably driven by growing concerns about global inflation risks. However, there are still many COVID uncertainties. Even though the inflation risk has emerged, so central banks are sticking with monetary easing. There is a glut of funds globally. The abundance of U.S. dollar has caused the Dai Yen basis to tighten, then JPY swap rates to decline. After Japanese banks and lifers releasing their fiscal year 20 earnings results, Japanese will begin implementing their fiscal year 21 investing strategies. Overseas investors are not concerned with the moves of the Japanese companies and investors and the state of emergency. They will likely take JGBs because of their relative value in US dollar terms. We think yen rates will maintain a downward bias, while yen basis will have a tightening bias. On May 20th, the BOJ will have 25-year plus JGB buying operation. After that, the BOJ cannot stop the long end of JGB yield curve. The MOF will hold a 20-year JGB auction on May 21st and a 40-year JGB auction on May 27th. We now think JPY swap rates may take on an upward bias and JPY basis may take on a neutral bias from May 20th onward. The BOJ's senior central bankers can test yen rate upside through the end of May. If the US yield curve moves quickly, US investors may pile into JGBs out of US rate risk. Then we do not need to change our biases. If the US yield curve moves only gradually, then our bias revision will be necessary. US Treasury and JGB interdependency has grown, and New York and Tokyo links have deepened out of traditional salaries.
There is a ton going on. Thank you for taking our listeners through it, and we'll eagerly be awaiting your report on Japanese bank and Japanese investor fiscal year 2020 earnings and their fiscal year 2021 investing strategies. Thanks again for taking us all through it.
Thanks for having me, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.